Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. Today we have with us Christine Trim. And Christine is a transformative wellness leader dedicated to empowering professional Christian women to reclaim their health and vitality through her faith-based holistic approach to weight loss. As the founder of the Sugar-Freed Me Method and a certified sugar licensed practitioner, Christine helps clients achieve lifelong healing from sugar addiction and food-related struggles. Her clients experience dramatic transformations, including sustained weight loss and breakthroughs in physical, emotional, and spiritual health, with over 80% retention in her programs. After a personal story of losing 100 pounds, I'm not even going to finish this bio because I'm about to pass this mic over to Christine because she's got a beautiful, profound story and I want her to tell this. So Christine, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Rachel. I'm completely overjoyed to be here with you today.
Oh my gosh. Even before we started hitting record, we were just talking about our passions and just really what has been moving in our lives and the works that we do and just these transformational journeys that we both have been on in similar but yet different paths. And it has led us back to our same core message is to empower others, right? So yes. We live and lead from our own place. And so I'd love for you to unpack, you know, some of the story and how you got started into all the things that you're doing today.
Yeah, I love that you brought up empower because that really is one of my greatest passions is to empower women to quit sugar and claim weight loss victory. And I say once and forever and to live in this freedom and greater joy. So I will start with a story, the point where my life completely transformed. And I'll go back to my childhood a little bit later, but about 10 years ago right now, I was standing at the foot of a mountain in the beautiful Rocky Mountain National Park. My husband and I were there on our 25th anniversary trip, and he had planned out some trails for us to travel. And he said, we went around Bear Lake, which if you've ever been there, that's a really flat trail around there. And that was like very easy, no exhaustion, nothing like that. And he said, well, I want to go climb to Nymph Lake. And I was like, okay. So we went over to the trail marker and I looked at the trail marker and it said a half a mile to Nymph Lake. And I'm like, okay, I can do a half a mile. But then I looked up and I was like, oh no, like that trail went straight up. And my heart kind of sunk a little bit, but I wanted to give it my best effort. So I started hiking up this trail with my husband. And it wasn't very long, Rachel, before I could not go another step further. I was gasping for air and I just could not continue on that path. And the reason being is because I was at a very difficult health place in my life. I was 100 pounds overweight, classified as morbidly obese at the time, which naturally left me gasping for that air on the side of a mountain in Rocky Mountain National Park. So I told my husband to go ahead, go in without me. I just can't go another step. And he was like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm positive. Just go. And I wanted to sit by myself for a few minutes on the side of that path. And I found a stump and I sat there and just really had I call it my take ownership moment. I remember thinking that I just can't go on living like this any longer. Like I'm exhausted. I'm moody. I'm crabby. I'm not enjoying this. In fact, I did not even enjoy the fact that I had to like walk to the trailhead. Like I was regretting going to the mountains, if that makes sense, you know, at the time, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to climb, but I really did want to give it my best effort. So I sat there and I remember just saying a little prayer, God, I just want to feel better. Like I just want to feel better. I want to stop feeling sick and tired all the time. And at that point in my life, being obese for 30 years, I never expected to lose weight. I thought I was meant to be fat forever. And so my prayer wasn't, Lord, help me lose this weight. My prayer was, I just want to feel better. And something really shifted in my life at that moment, sitting by myself on the side of the path. I decided to go home from that trip. I had a new resolve in my heart. And so I did go home. I did take ownership. I did schedule a doctor's appointment that I'd been putting off for many, many years. The first medical intervention I did was a sleep study. And that really just started me down the path of this transformation story that took me from being a woman that can't climb mountains to now being a certified Christian health and wellness coach and encouraging other women to show up at the foot of that mountain and let's do the climb together. So that's where I'm at. And I am excited to be here to share all of this with your audience today.
Wow. What a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like it's found in the everyday moments. Those little whispers, right? Oh my goodness. I'm over here like jotting down these notes and I'm thinking, gosh, how many of us women are just journeying this life and there's just a standing point in our life where just we can't go on anymore. We can't do this.
Yes.
And how many times has this happened? It's just like brought us to our knees in like a prayer moment or something that buckles where we're just that last ditch effort. And sometimes that's where we find God. Or maybe that's where we are finally aware that God had been there and we meet God.
Yes. Yes.
And God will meet you anywhere at the foot of this trail.
Right. Yes.
On your knees, crying, you never know. And it's just these moments that are so life-changing. And I love your story of how profound it is. And, you know, as you're going through and this journey, first start with that medical intervention. So let's kind of walk us through that journey. I'm curious to know how this all transpired.
Yeah. So let me just back up a little bit to my childhood and share that because you mentioned about just praying and the Lord finding me, I was very blessed in that moment that I feel like he did reach out to me. That was the huge blessing because I did grow up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. I grew up being surrounded by Christian friends. But for 30 years, I was very casual about my faith. I call it my casual Christian years. And so I never really invited the Lord into my health journey. And I never invited him into like, why am I feeling so miserable? And why do I have so much despair? I'm a very type A person. I was trying to control all the things. So in that moment, I always say like what David writes in Psalm 40 about sitting in the pit. God reached down and he lifted me up from that miry pit and he put my feet on a solid rock and he put a new song in my mouth. And it has definitely been a journey from coming home from Colorado, coming back to Michigan, having that sleep study. The reason I put it off, Rachel, is because I did not want to come home with a CPAP machine. That just did not sound fun to me. But I have to tell you that CPAP machine really changed my life. I started sleeping better. And when I started sleeping better, I started waking up more refreshed. I felt a little bit of my brain fog went away. And waking up refreshed, I started the thing that really changed my life more than any dietary choice that I made. I started picking up my Bible. First time in my life. And I do it. I haven't set it down since because I'm waking up without an alarm now and feeling refreshed. And I thought, what's a girl to do to kill 2 hours before she has to be in the corporate office? So I started implementing that into my life. And then I just started going down a rabbit hole of trying to figure out why my health issues were compounding. I had obstructive sleep apnea. Shortly after that Colorado trip, I came home and my painful ovarian cysts were flaring up again. So I had an ultrasound. And then I was diagnosed with fatty liver disease. And I already knew I was pre-diabetic. And I already had daily headaches. And I already had monthly migraine and pain and inflammation. You know, just all this stuff was compounding. And I wasn't even 50 years old yet. I was 48. So my mortality started flashing before my eyes and just really made me super curious. Now that I had this refreshed waking up in the morning and I was feeling a little bit better because I was getting better health or better sleep. Why were all of these issues compiling? And why was my liver full of fat set me down a rabbit hole of discovering what I needed to know about the standard American diet that any diet program I had been in before really didn't address? And that was that sugar is a major hormone disruptor. Our diet is loaded with sugar. Even sugar in moderation was detrimental to my health because being pre-diabetic or anybody that's dealt with type 2 diabetes has probably heard the term insulin resistance. And so our insulin hormone's out of whack. And I learned step by step how to heal my insulin hormone, get it stabilized, get my blood sugar stabilized, ditched the sugar, switched to whole healthy foods with what I like to call from God's good smorgasbord. And that is really, truly step-by-step is what healed my body, my physical body. The weight loss was amazing, but more importantly, it helped renew my mind. It helped me adopt new mindset shifts. And most importantly, because I started picking up God's word first thing every morning, the spiritual growth and change in my life has been the best part of my story.
Wow. What a beautiful transformation. As you're sharing this and I'm thinking, you know, so many relatabilities, and I'll just pull a few from myself. It's like, I also grew up Christian values, went to church, did all the things.
Mm-hmm.
There was God. He was kind of like the genie in the bottle God, calling him when you need him. And yeah. Why to grant me that wish. And very similarly to you, when I was going through my own transformational journeys from the other side of the spectrum, it's like, for those listening, I suffered body dysmorphia, eating disorders, disordered eating, laxatives, extremes, diet, like all these things. And it was this chase for this perfect life, this perfect body, this perfectness. So I could just finally rest because I was so tired of living this lifestyle that was not the way I knew that I was supposed to live.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, after a devastation in my life, just on my knees crying to God. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, God, if you are really there, that I've learned about you in Bible school and Sunday school and all these things, if there is a God, show mm-hmm. me. And there was just this overwhelming like peace that came over me. Something I hadn't. Oh, because when you're in that place of just desperation, despair, mm-hmm. it's like, maybe that was the first thing. And so like you, I started picking up my Bible and mm-hmm. and turning the pages and asking, where do you want to lead me today? And it was just a really cool parallel to see how both of our stories, so uniquely different, has the one thing in common. God was there this whole time in this present.
I just got chills.
Me too. And he will restore you. And it's not just the physical. He restores your mind, your spirit, your soul. And I love, oh my gosh, I love this. This is giving me goosies.
Yeah, me too.
So the relatability there, and those that are listening, it's like, how many times in your life have you felt so alone and felt like there was nobody out there, no help, nobody understood what you're going through, and you just have those breakdowns? And to know that there is, you know, faith or not, but there is this higher calling and purpose for your life. And I believe that that is for every individual here on this earth because of my faith and because of Christine's as well. And so, as you're continuing this journey, you're picking up your Bible, you're pouring it out, life is changing. What starts to become possible, the things that you never even knew existed?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, the book of Ephesians chapter 2 changed my life. So let me talk about that, because I never thought that this would be possible, Rachel, because I used to have like intense sugar cravings, intense junk food cravings. And we could talk a little bit later about why that was happening, but let me hop into Ephesians 2 for a second. I always felt like being morbidly obese, walking into a room full of women, being at events, social events, things like that, I always felt like I never fit in. And so here I'm starting to pick up my Bible. And one of the first books I studied was Ephesians, which I'm so grateful for because it truly changed my life. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul actually, in my NIV version, Paul actually talks about craving all the wrong things. And I was like, ooh, that was healthily convicting to me. Like, and I knew, so I was able to really evaluate and assess, like, what was I craving? Why was I coping with food? What's going on? You know, so I was able to go a little bit deeper with that. But then that whole chapter is written about being made alive in Christ. And I never felt alive about anything. I felt like I was just trudging through life, just getting to the next day. And my biggest desire day to day was just to crawl back into bed and you know, just go to sleep so that I didn't have to face another hardship or difficulty or whatever. But the end of that chapter is talking about the hope that I had all my life that had been absent was the seat at the table in the heavenly realms with Jesus. And that was just really, it was just such a beautiful picture to me, because all along, I believe I was saved as a child. I get saved, you know, in Bible school when I was a child. All along, I had this seat in the heavenly realms, and I never knew that. I never really realized that. So even if I didn't fit in anywhere else, I physically didn't fit in roller coaster seats. I almost didn't fit in airplane seats. And again, I felt very awkward often in social situations. I had that seat that whole time. And like, here's this table waiting for me the entire time. And that's really what changed my heart, gave me a different perspective on who I am as a, you know, a chosen daughter of the King, as a believer, as someone who I do have, I was like, wow, maybe I do have a purpose in this health journey. Maybe this is God's way of working and making himself real and making himself known to me and making me passionate to pursue him. So that's something I never really thought about going into it. And it was just like a beautiful, beautiful part of the journey was just seeing who we are in Christ. I have a new identity. Like, and it's hard to think about my old identity. I call her old Christine, the way I used to live, where I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. And I love to embrace and I love to encourage women. If you are like feeling like you don't belong anywhere, you do belong, you know, you do belong. So
100%.
Yes.
Yes. I can relate to the 100% of the I am and the identity. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That it's something that I think is so unique and also part of this journey. Is so much of our identity gets wrapped up in who we believe that we are and who the world tells us we should be. And then when we look at our situation and our circumstances, we allow that to define us. And then when we don't feel that we're accepted or belonged in certain places, we allow that to define us. And so all of a sudden that the worth and the value that we have been gifted and blessed with has now been discounted and discredited, and we feel worthless and undervalued. And that not enoughness will lead to that chase and that striving to be or achieve something more, but that's not where it's found. So I love that you brought up the identity. And if you can see behind me, I have my little plaque. It says, I am who he says I am.
Right.
It's just a great reminder. And for anyone on this identity journey, you know, when we look at our worth and our value, I want to prompt you to pause for a moment and ask how you define yourself and what you define yourself as, and then look at who you are and who you're capable of being, that potential, that untapped potential, and that greatness that lies within each and every one of us. So this journey is with this identity and this newfound spirit in life through Ephesians. Carry on. Like, I'm enthralled by your story. I love
So now, like, I've been made alive in Christ. And for the first time in my life, approaching the age of 50, I actually feel alive. I feel like I'm thriving. And, oh, I froze, or you froze. Am I good now?
Yep, you're good.
Okay, I froze. Okay, so for the first time in my life, approaching the age of 50, I finally feel like I'm alive, like I'm thriving, like I have a purpose. God has a plan for my life. And like, I don't have to live in just the doldrums of just merely existing. Like I can treat my health and wellness correctly so that I thrive well. I can influence my family with health and wellness, you know, and to help them thrive well, and not only their physical health, like with the food and the choices that we make in the home, but just encouraging them in this joy. It's such a joy-filled journey it's been. Like, joy is the big gift that I was given. Weight loss was amazing. Losing 100 pounds, I feel so much better. All of my chronic health issues have been reversed or put into remission. But really, the ultimate gift has been stepping into this freedom that I've never experienced in my life, and the greater joy in loving. So, yes, there's nothing like it. That's why I'm here talking to you about it.
Yes. And like you said, the freedom to just lived the life that you were intended to, and you felt like a prisoner locked in this body or this stronghold that you couldn't break. And eventually it wasn't up to you to break it, but the power of God's transformation to empower you to break free. And so I'd love for you to share a little bit more about with your book. You have a book coming up that, or actually it's out now, right?
Yes. January 21st, it was out. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. And so tell us about first of all, what is the title of the book? And tell us a little bit about the book too.
Okay. So the book is titled Sugar Freed. So it has a D on the end of sugar free. Sugar Freed. I made that word up. Sugar Freed. Stop losing the weight loss battle, start gaining the victory. And it is a book to help women also experience this freedom journey by really, it came down to this one ingredient that I was coping with. And Rachel, one of the things that really changed my life that I want to give the listeners hope for is after being overweight and obese, ending up morbidly obese, you can imagine how I carried a ton of guilt and shame about that. And I felt that this was my fault. I could never get it right. Believe me, I was a chronic dieter. Like, I was constantly trying to figure it out. And the dietary advice was failing me over and over again. For example, like, everything in moderation does not work for someone who has insulin resistance, because it just, like, I just want more and more carbs or more and more sugar. And there was a reason for that, I learned that it wasn't entirely all my fault, because I really did truly have an addiction to food and sugar. Physiologically, there was something going on in my brain. And so when I heard I call him my earthly health hero, Dr. Jason Fung, was the first person I heard talk about this. He's a nephrologist in Canada. He was tired of sending his type 2 diabetes patients for ortho consults to get their limbs amputated. So he wanted to get to the root cause of what's going on with these type 2 diabetics and why we just can't get off the sugar and the carbs. And he looked in the camera in a video that I was watching one day, and he just said, "I just want you to know this is not your fault." And I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, "What do you mean this is not my fault? What do you mean my obesity is not my fault? I've been told I'm lazy. I've been told I just need to exercise more. I've been told I just need to eat lettuce and tuna fish." And none of that stuff worked for me. But what was going on behind the scenes that I didn't know was, you know, the advice wasn't working for me, because again, I had the insulin resistance. My insulin hormone was really out of whack, and insulin is your fat storing hormone. And no dietitian, no doctor, nobody ever talked to me about my insulin hormone, even in the hospital based program that I was in. So learning that really set me free. It allowed me to like release the guilt and shame of what had been happening to me for 30 years. And now I, as a believer, I say, okay, this is not entirely our fault, right? But now that we have this problem, it's our responsibility to fix it and to take ownership and to do something about it. And so learning what I learned about sugar, how addictive it is, how it's in all of our factory foods. I don't eat factory foods anymore, of course, but it's hyper palatable, super addictive, and it's keeping us hooked. And we're even hearing things in dietary world about it's okay to eat some of this stuff in moderation. Well, what I learned is that the best thing for me was to eliminate sugar in all forms, sugar, grains, starches like potatoes, bread, things like that. As soon as I did that, Rachel, that's when my weight loss, I call it the weight loss magic for me. That's when it happened. Like, the weight just started melting off of me in ways that I never experienced for all of those 30 years of my dieting efforts. So living a sugar-free lifestyle has truly set me free, and not just physically, but I did not realize how much brain fog I was living in. So it actually cleared my brain fog, gave me mental clarity, gave me a momentum, it gave me a renewed zeal for living every single day, renewed my mind. And then, of course, you know, the spiritual growth and the spiritual maturity that I've experienced when I set out on this journey is like, it's very indescribable. Joy is the best way to describe it.
Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I didn't even know that about insulin, and you just schooled me on a lot of things here.
Yeah. So
you don't even think about it, because it's like, you got to make those small changes, those small little tweaks. And I think that is, you know, somebody who's on this journey that's listening could be like, I tried all the things, I've done this, I've done that. But here's the thing, don't give up. There is a way. There's that will and there's a way. And yeah, just like Christine said, she had it. You know, sometimes it's not up to you to figure it out, but you're scrolling on social media and all of a sudden you see this video and you spoke to you. And so God will lead you to where you need to go.
Yes. He guided me step by step, every single step of the way. I really, truly, I always say when we show up, God shows up. So I want to like give him the glory for all of this happening. But I also believe that small habits build and deliver big results. So I don't want anybody to feel overwhelmed. And I just want everybody listening right now that needs this hope or needs to grab onto something to think of one small habit shift that you can implement today. And then like a week later, I added something else. And then a week later, I added something else. I did a slow step-by-step plan to get off of sugar. And that was what really worked well for me. And that's how I coach women too, is step-by-step.
Yeah. So it wasn't like an overnight, all of a sudden you just cleaned out your pantry and your fridge and you put in like leafy vegetables and tuna, like they say, right?
Exactly.
And that's why it doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't even eat that many leafy vegetables, to be honest. Like I really don't eat a lot of salads anymore. I mostly focus on protein in the form of, I'll eat red meat a couple times a week, fish, chicken, pork, eggs, you know, things like that. But, and then low carb vegetables, I do love adding those into my way of eating as well too.
Yeah. So would you say that your diet primarily consists of lean meats and veggies per se?
Like I'm very protein focused, especially since now I'm postmenopausal. And I think, ladies, it's so important that we focus on protein and make sure we have that as we're aging. And let's see. So example, last night I did have red meat last night, which I had a steak, and I made some lupini beans on the side and added some mint and some lime juice to it, you know, and things like that. Broccoli, asparagus. I love cauliflower. Interestingly enough, I've even loved cauliflower as a kid. So I eat a lot of cauliflower. Yeah. And then just always, my first choice is to finish my meat, my protein, and then add a side dish like that. Yeah.
That would be, you know, ideal for anyone at this point. It's like, I always think of it's whole, real, healthy foods. I think it was an author. It's slipping my name, but Michael Pollack, I think it is. And he says it's pick, pull, and pluck.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So like, obviously, if you're in a grocery store, if it wasn't picked, if it wasn't pulled and it wasn't plucked.
Yeah.
You know, not plucking meaning just from like chicken, but it's like, it's sustainable and it's a real byproduct of what is quality, whole, real, dense food.
Yeah.
Look at it from a nutritional standpoint. And so even for those that are, you know, shopping wise, I know for me, it was like, I didn't even know how to navigate a grocery store, because it's like, I just went up and down all the aisles and was like, pick this, do that. But I realized and this might just be a little bit off side tangent here, but the way stores are designed is to lead you through all of the foods that aren't good for you to get to the healthy foods in the back. Now there's been a shift where, like, I don't know how it is in Michigan where you're at, but in Ohio, when you go into the grocery stores, you're right up into like the produce and the fruits and vegetable section. So shopping the perimeter of the store, are your real whole foods. Anything in those middle aisles that are in boxes and cans, moderate sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. That is like one of the first tips I give is to, first of all, you can cut your grocery shopping time in half too by just hitting the number perimeter. I can get in out of the grocery store in record time now. So yeah, very few items are needed in the interior aisles, like maybe coffee, tea, mustard, and some condiments, something like that. But yeah, perimeter is where it's at. And I love to say, you know, from Gans Good Smorgasbord, these foods, most of the foods that I eat don't even need an ingredient label. It's like egg,
like chicken,
salmon. Like salmon. It's like broccoli. Yeah,
so exactly.
Yeah. And I don't want any, I know some people think like, well, that just sounds like a lot of deprivation. But it's not. I I promise you that when you nourish your body well and you get, you remove the sugars from your life. I liked the talk about sugar as a fuel for your body is so inefficient. And this is why your body, your brain is screaming for it over and over again. Like, this is why you have afternoon slumps, because your blood sugar is crashing. And then you're saying, oh, I better eat something because they told me to eat snacks all day long, right? And so then your blood sugar is going up and down all day long. And it's a very inefficient way to fuel your body when you think about it. Like, you just have to keep eating more. But when I eliminated the sugar from my lifestyle, I wanted to tap into the fat for fuel. And isn't that what most women want to do? We want to tap into the fat for fuel. And so I live a very low carb lifestyle. Of course, my most efficient fuel is the fat on my body, ketones. My body will automatically make ketones for fuel. And not having those sugar crashes all day, every day is just provided so much more energy. Because like I said, when I was obese, all I wanted to do at 2 o'clock in the afternoon was crawl back into bed and take a nap. And I don't feel like that ever anymore. I just have energy to sustain me through the day.
Right. And that's what nutrition does for you. It fuels you and gives you that vitality.
Yes.
You know, so it's like you're getting fueled and nourished from the inside, and the vitality is penetrating through the physical. And now you're just like walking around like, man, I'm just confident, I'm courageous, like all these things that you never thought were possible, but that's who you were this whole time. Yeah. And it was hidden behind these masks and personas and things that we believe about ourselves, but that's really not who we are. Because we're not our bodies. We're not this shell. I truly believe that we are spiritual beings living a human existence. And this is just the vessel that we are given to fulfill that mission and purpose.
Right. And as believers, we're called to treat this vessel well. Like, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to allow that to do its work in our lives. And man, that was mass for me for decades, Rachel, decades.
Yeah, I can imagine, because that was me too. I mean, just I feel like my journey, I would say, really started about 10 years ago is when I just said, I've had enough. I've had enough of just living this way, this lifestyle, this. It felt so fake and I couldn't sustain it, because the authentic me that I didn't even know until like years later, but it feels like just yesterday, because this newness of life, lived decades, but one decade feels like a couple of years. And so this whole new like vitality, you know, that's a big thing. Yeah, you can definitely resonate. And so when you talk about like building confidence and creating that lasting change, is this what you teach in your book and some of the habits and lifestyle changes?
Yes. Because I just want women to step up into their purpose and do it confidently. And you mentioned courageously. I love courage. I never had courage before. And being on this journey of restoring my physical health and renewing my mind, it just ushered in such a level of confidence and courage that I thought was very odd, you know, for me, because I always thought I was an introvert, and I still believe that I do have very introverted tendencies. However, I have things to say now, right? And I'm not afraid to say them. And I, like, the Lord has gifted me with this confidence now. I know that He made me resilient, and I saw that throughout my entire life. And I know He made me with grit. I love to say I help women do hard things. I've always done that. Even if it was just one-on-one, sitting with a friend and helping them through a difficult situation, or helping my best friends in our calculus class in high school. That's just always been my calling, to help women do hard things. And I could never understand, like, I always consider myself a high achiever. Why could I not get this weight loss thing right? Why could I, like, I could do everything else right. I had a career that I loved. I was in corporate America as a corporate controller, left after 32 years to pursue this writing and speaking and coaching life. But it was always the thing that was very unsettled in my life. Like, I have a great career. My kids are healthy and thriving. Why can't I get this correct? And I think it was just, I was coping so much that the confidence and the courage were just layered underneath the, you know, what I was coping with. The food was just dulling every aspect of my life. not only was I dulling my emotions by coping with food and satisfying my cravings with food high in carbohydrates and high in sugar, things that were hyperpalatable, but it was just really dulling everything about my life. And I all those years, I never truly had an understanding of what joy really means. And I call it biblical joy now. But now it means, despite any circumstance that we are living through, despite whatever heavy weight we're carrying, and that can be the heavy weight of obesity, it could be the heavy weight of financial ruin, it could be the heavy weight of living in grief that you didn't expect. If we dig deeper, like you encourage your listeners to do all the time, and really just cling to that courage and the confidence that we've all got innately. I believe we all have some level of that innately. And just really reach down for that and step out onto this hard journey. And again, like I always say, when you show up, if you want to show up to this hard journey, I really truly believe that God will show off in what these heavy circumstances are that he can bring you through.
Wow. Yeah. And it's wonderful to know like how amazing life is when you begin a new life again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Even at 50 years old, ladies.
Yeah. I mean, when was mine? 35?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I have quite a few coaching clients that are in your age range, and it just fills my heart with even greater joy that they're getting this at a younger age than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret the decades that I lived there, because I know it's part of my story and I had to experience that so that I could appreciate and be grateful for what I have gone through and what God has delivered me into in this new freedom.
Right. And if you look back, it's like, okay, so here you say you've lived these decades and you don't regret it. And your mission now has been to empower these women, the younger, the better, because if you can shorten that learning curve and avoid the same pitfalls and mistakes that both Christine and I made, you know, it's like, this is why we do what we do. And
yes,
you don't regret that time. Yes, it sucks for you to have it to experience, but look at the deepening of your faith and this vast well of experience, mm-hmm, and compassion and empathy and understanding and knowing that because you've walked it for so long. So I wouldn't say that either in my part, in my story, I don't discount any of that stuff. And, you know, my book is literally a vulnerable share. It's a living testament and testimony to what is possible when we let go and surrender and want to transform your life from the inside out, because with God, everything is possible. And that is where I think that we both agree is just like, this is the pivotal thing that has really transformed our life, because it wasn't about us. We didn't.
Right.
We had to, but he helped find the way for us.
Yeah.
And that's the testimony that we get to pass on and carry forward into the works that we do. And, you know, the irony of this, and I probably share this in many of the episodes sprinkled out throughout all the years, but, you know, we have this platform, The Confident Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I was not confident. I had zero confidence. I was the girl who I was just like, just turn the lights out and shut the door and pretend I don't exist because nobody will notice me anyway. And I
felt
that way because there was so much shame and so much guilt that I just wanted to hide behind. That I was a social introvert, awkward, social anxiety, things like that, where I never could have imagined me writing a book. So when God told me, you're going to write a book, I said, you got the wrong person here. And fast forward, when you start surrendering the how and trusting in the why, or surrender, either way, something like that. It's like you're surrendering to the process, and that's where the transformation happens. And I remember this witnessing like your story as well. Oh my gosh, this is a new version of me. Every time there's this new layer that's peeled off and this new beginning, this new creation, this newness, that was me walking in this confidence of like, wow, this is possible. And I remember thinking like, I want every woman to feel this, but I didn't know what this was. And that was confidence, because that was something I admired in other women, because I thought that was a gift that I was not gifted. And there was a bit of some sort of like resentment, like, why do they got it and I don't?
Yeah.
And so here's this platform now that brings women from all walks, all stories, all over the world, sharing just stories of transformation, of growth, of hope, of change, of empowerment, of inspiration. And Christine, I'm enthralled by your story. This is just so profound. And I love that your journey, similar yet different, I find so many nuggets to take away in your story as well.
Yeah, thank you. I love that we both have our story began about 10 years ago, because it was, now we're in 2025. That sitting on the side of the mountain happened for me in September of 2015.
Really?
So, yeah. So like I'm coming up on the 10-year anniversary of that, and I'm coming up on the 7-year anniversary. Actually, hey, the day we're recording, January 8th, is the 7-year anniversary of me getting to a healthy weight. So you can see it didn't happen overnight, right, listeners. It did not happen overnight. It was a process. It was a there was a progression to it. But once I fully surrendered, you talked about surrender. Once I fully surrendered this struggle in my life to Jesus and I show up every day. Every day I do the surrender. I have the same process every single morning. I call it my Bible and beans time. It's protected. Nothing can interrupt that time. And I literally surrender my food, my fasting hours, my feelings, my fitness, and I do it all by faith. Those are actually the five pillars of my coaching methodology. But that's always, that's like focusing on those things, and the women that I coach, when we focus on those things, it encompasses so much, right? That is really where the freedom comes in, you know, and that's really how we can step into it. Day by day, step by step, showing up, just the daily surrender. And another thing I love to encourage women as well is, like I mentioned, I love to help women do hard things. And ladies, you are capable of doing hard things. Step into it confidently. And it's okay if it feels uncomfortable. We have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable for any type of transformation to happen in our life.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, of course, how can people find your book and buy your book? And then secondly, how can they connect with you after they gotten in your space and was like, oh my gosh, I got to talk to Christine.
Yes. Okay. So the book Sugar Freed is available on Amazon. And I also do have a whole webpage on my website dedicated to the book. So if they go to Christine Trimp on the menu, they'll see weight loss, and you can see things about my program. You can see about the book. And I also have a free gift for your listeners as well, too. There is a chapter excerpt of my book available. And I think you'll put the link in the show notes for that. Or they can just go to sugarfreedgift.com. Don't forget to put the D on the end of sugarfree. So sugarfreed.com. I'm sorry.
Love it.
Gift.com.
Yes. Love it. So, of course, those links will be in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I'm all over social media. Just look for me by my name.
Awesome. Yes. So incredible, because this book is going to not only change your life, Christine is a living testimony of what is possible. So if you are sugar-freed and wanting to be, and yet addiction, and you're just like, how do I break this cycle? Check out the book, show notes, click the link, and definitely read it and connect with Christine. And if this episode resonates, you reach out to her as well. This is what we do. This is why we pour our hearts and souls into the works that we do, is to provoke life change in ourselves and gift it to you guys as well. So thank you. Thank you, Christine, for being my guest here today. This has been incredible. And I'm just grateful for this conversation.
Thank you, Rachel. It was really delightful to be with you today.
Thank you. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.